In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is a good day. It is a good day. And I am glad to be with you today officiating. At this time of year, every 3 years, the lectionary appoints readings from the Epistle of James. And so for 5 Sundays, we hear from James. And today is the 3rd Sunday. And I noticed that Father Brian had been preaching from it, so I felt compelled to continue, okay? I don't know if you picked up on it or not, but there were some blistering words in that portion of the epistle. Listen to this. It's a slightly different translation. Listen to it. This is only a part of the epistle lesson. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony into chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it, smoke right from the pit of hell. This is scary. You can tame a tiger, but you can't tame a tongue. It's never been done. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets my attention. One Episcopal priest commenting on the reading today said he thought that all Episcopalians, and then if the Roman Catholics and Lutherans are using the same lectionary and reading this portion of James today, that all of us following the reading would get on our knees and confess our sins to Almighty God. We're going to do that, but a little later, okay? What is that noise? Do you know? It's what? Is the mic doing something? Got me? Okay, fine. Unlike the New Testament epistles, James does not seem to be written to a particular congregation. As you know, Romans was written to the people in Rome. The letters to the Corinthians are to the people of Corinth. And Philippians is for the people of Philippi. But James, at the beginning of James, he says that this is to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, which means a scattered church. But the dispersion or the diaspora would make me think that these congregations were people who had grown up in the Hebrew tradition. Okay? The Hebrew tradition. I gather from the portion of the letter from James that we read today that he felt there were a lot of loose tongues in the Christian congregations. I don't think he just wrote it for the fun of it. I think he felt it was a serious problem within the body of Christ. And so he's pretty direct about it, isn't it? It's kind of hard to miss the point. Over the centuries, I think the church has felt the same way. That continual need to read from this epistle, or read it aloud so we hear it, and therefore are reminded how much damage our tongues can do. We lie, we talk about other people behind their backs, We curse others. We spread false rumors. We can hurt people, and we can damage people, actually damage people, by what we say. To understand this message from James, I think it's important for us to go back to the very opening words of the Bible from the book of Genesis, because I think James had this in mind. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. This is a portrait of primordial chaos. Cold, dark, impersonal, lifeless, without form. And out of this chaos, God lovingly has created all that is. And this creation was pronounced by God to be very good. And God blesses the beloved creation. We note in the ancient story of creation that God gave to Adam, the gift of speech. And God creates all the animals of the earth, and he says to Adam, name them. Giraffes, camels, dogs, cats, whatever you can think of. He has the responsibility of actually naming them. God says, use your ability to talk, to communicate, name them. These opening words of the Bible remind us of the power and wonder of God and all that God has created. And included in all of this is the human ability to speak, to communicate. God looks at it all and says, it is good. What we have here in this picture is paradise. As the biblical story continues, we see that humankind tends to mar, damage, rip apart, destroy God's creation. Things get ugly immediately. Murder, lying, cheating, fighting, deception, selfishness, egotism. And those are some of the better qualities. To bring order back to the beloved creation, which seems to be receding back to the waters of chaos, God calls a people to be in a special relationship with God. And God says to them, I will be your God, and you will be my people. In this relationship, these people would be touched and reformed by the love and generosity and forgiveness of God. And they would grow to a point eventually of being human representatives of the life of God, which was what God created them to be to start with. A lot of times, as the story goes, They made two steps forward and then three steps backward. But you know what? God never gave up. And in the fullness of time, God sent the beloved Son, Jesus, Jesus, the Son of God, to embody all of the loving, caring attributes of God. Jesus came into this world with arms wide open to invite all into a full, loving relationship with God. And that's what we pray for, isn't it? We Episcopalians pray for it every time we get together. I don't know if it's a wedding, a funeral, morning prayer, evening prayer, Eucharist, whatever, we pray it. We make this prayer. We make this petition. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth, as it is in heaven. The letter of James is reminding Christian people, lest we have forgotten, that the loose tongue, lying, spreading false rumors, cursing God or neighbor, gossiping, misrepresenting, putting down others, are ways and behaviors that chip away at the beloved creation and make it slip back toward the primordial chaos, the abyss. So much of the Bible is based on this. Growing up, I heard from my parents repeatedly, if you can't say anything nice about someone, don't say anything at all. I didn't always do that. If I didn't have anything nice to say about someone or to someone, I said it anyway. I think the comedian Joan Rivers put it this way. If you can't say anything nice about someone, tell me. The loose tongue is the subject of a drama, a play, called Doubt. There's a movie based on it. The setting is a parochial school, and in that parochial the parochial school is run by an elderly nun. She's the principal, and one of the young parish priests is the chaplain. She's very strict. She's very old school. It runs like clockwork. Whereas the young priest has a more relaxed and casual approach. So you can imagine the dynamics between those two. And in the movie, Meryl Streep plays the nun. So you can imagine what's in store for the people who see that. As the play is going along, the parish priest, all of a sudden, interrupting the movement of the play, steps into a pulpit to give a sermon to the congregation, which, of course, is the audience that paid to come see this play. When I was in the audience, I thought to myself, I bet there's some people here who have never heard a sermon before. This is what he said in the sermon. There was a woman who came urgently to make her confession to her priest. She told him, I have gossiped to a friend about a man I hardly know. That night, she has a terrible dream. God is in this dream, and he's pointing God's finger at her and saying, look what you have done. And she is terrified. So she says to her confessor, "Was that so terrible?" "Yes, indeed," he says. "Well, whatever should I do?" she asks. The priest says, "Go home. Get a feather pillow and a knife and go out on the roof and take the knife and rip the pillow open and let all the feathers fly out. And then come back to see me." So she did as she was instructed, and she came back, and she said, "What do I do now?" And he said, "Well, what you do now is go back home and pick up all the feathers and bring them back to me." "I can't do that," she said. "And why not?" he asks. She laments. "The feathers, they blew everywhere." And the priest says, "That's gossip. We can never take back what we have uttered, nor can we take back ways we have hurt people. Once it is done, it is done. But we can do some things. We can confess our sin, we can apologize, we can make amends, and we can try harder to zip our lips and be more kind and loving." And you know, this isn't only on an individual basis. There's a community aspect to this. As people of the community of faith, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can hold each other accountable with the aim of helping one another to be stewards of what we say. I never will forget, a parishioner came to me one time and she said, I just want to tell you something I did. She was with a small group of people, and I think they knew each other pretty well, but one member happened not to be there, and so the group started talking about that person, and it went into gossip. And she said it made me very uncomfortable, and I had to verbalize that. I said, "I'm uncomfortable talking about someone unless it's as if that person were here with us." And that comment stopped it right there. Loose tongues, careless and hateful behavior, these are persistent sins of the flock of Christ. And apparently, the ancient psalmist, the one who wrote Psalm 19 that we had today, thousands of years ago, fought this very same issue. In that psalm, he makes his confession. And at the end of it, he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Amen.